Hello friends, we now commence with the last portions on company law, which talks about prospectus and private placement. You are aware that when we had just done incorporation, we spoke about a very important document called the prospectus. So, well, as far as this chapter goes, the learning objectives of this chapter of ours talks about prospectus, certain important legal requirements regarding prospectus, the contents of the prospectus, and important issues as regards untrue statements given in the prospectus whereby a director or promoter can be held liable. And finally, we come to private placements. We now commence with the chapter on prospectus. We now commence with the aspect on prospectus, which says it is a document described or issued as a prospectus and includes a red herring prospectus or a shelf prospectus or any notice, circular, advertisement or other document inviting offers from the public for the subscription or the purchase of securities of a body corporate. Well, friends, if I am to just go into an insight of this specific document, it says it is any kind of a circular, any kind of an advertisement. Now, what exactly is red herring? It is any kind of a prospectus wherein the quantum or the price of the securities, it could be shares, it could be bonds, it could be debentures, it could be derivatives, whereby the price and the quantum is not clearly indicated. So this is called as a red herring prospectus and a shelf prospectus. Prospectus issued by public financial institutions, banks and many other scheduled banks, before they issue a prospectus, is required to inform the public by way of a document called the shelf prospectus. So what does this document do? This document gives a very clear insight information as regards the prospects of the company, the projects that are likely to be entered by the company, the financial areas, the risk factors, the gestation periods, and the legal tangles with any statutory bodies. Why is this done? This is done in order to inform the public that look, if you are subscribing, which means purchasing the shares of our company, you need to know where exactly your money is to be invested. And therefore, this is the document which gives a thorough insight into the prospectus. Well, friends, before I go into this contents, I'll just give you 10 very important indications as regards the legal requirements of a prospectus. My 10 important legal requirements are, firstly, every prospectus will be issued only after incorporation or registration. Now, normally today, companies, even before they are registered, provide this document. But technically and legally speaking, it is a document which is issued after registration. Secondly, before a prospectus is issued to the public, a sanction from SEBI, the Securities Exchange Board of India, 21 days before, you are required to give a copy so that they get it vetted. Now, vetted means a thorough scrutiny or an examination whereby merchant bankers, lead bankers have an insight so that in case there are any corrections to the prospectus, it is sought to be made by SEBI. Thirdly, it is required to be dated because that is the date of the publication. It will be signed by every person who is a director wherein he is given his written consent to the issue of the prospectus. And a copy of this prospectus is to be filed with the registrar of companies before it is issued to the public. And therefore, before a copy is actually given to the public, a copy is given to the registrar of companies whereby the following details are given. A written consent by all my expert persons such as valuers, technical people, engineers, chartered accountants. A very important information regarding material contracts entered by the company. Important information as regards any of the remuneration of key managerial personnel are required to be incorporated in the prospectus. The expert's consent to be in writing so that he doesn't withdraw his consent before the issue is required to be incorporated. Seventhly, there shall be no variations in the terms of the contract once you have incorporated it in the prospectus. Eighthly, abridged prospectus. This is a concise form of a prospectus wherein, along with the application form, an abridged prospectus is sought to be given to the public. Ninthly, today, under Section 447 of the Companies Act 2013, if the company incorporates any untrue statements whereby they induce the public to subscribe to shares, we have seen the various scams that have gone, and therefore the promoter and the director are required to be extremely careful when incorporating this document, so that under Section 447 there is a penalty which is provided and which is required to be included in the prospectus. And finally, any prospectus will be issued within a period of 90 days. Well, friends, let us now move on to the contents of the prospectus. Matters and reports to be stated in the prospectus. As I've mentioned it earlier, the prospectus is a very, very vital document, so that the directors of the company are required to incorporate it with scrupulous accuracy. And therefore, Section 26 of the Companies Act states that the following details shall be incorporated in the prospectus by the directors of the company, which are as follows. The names and address of the registered office with the company, the secretary, the chief financial officer, whom we call as the CFO, the auditors, the legal advisors, the bankers, the trustees, the underwriters. The underwriters are people who subscribe to shares which are not taken up by the public. The dates of opening and the closing of the issue, allotment letters which are required to be given in case the prospective investor is allotted shares, and if he is not allotted, the refund of money, the statement by the board of directors about a separate bank account, and the various details of the issue and the procedure and time schedule as regards allotment of securities. The capital structure of the company, the main objectives, the risk factors, gestation, that is what will be the period when the project is started and where exactly it is likely to be implemented, and therefore what are in between the areas as regards the process or the progress of the project, the minimum subscription or the minimum amount of money that is required to be obtained by the company before it makes any issue, so that preliminary expenses are sought to be satisfied or complied before the issue is given to the public. The details of directors and promoters' contribution shall be incorporated in the prospectus. We have a very important area which is called as the report by the auditors of the company. Well, friends, you are aware that today, thanks to the Satyam scams, we are very particular that the auditors of the company are required to take great precaution before they make the prospectus, wherein the auditors are required to certify the profits and losses of the company, the assets and liabilities, so that the profits and losses for each of the five financial years immediately preceding the current year, including those of the subsidiaries, are required to be reported in the prospectus. Here, I would like to add that the provisions regarding SEBI, the provisions regarding the Companies Act, as well as the provisions regarding the Securities Contract Regulation Act are required to be complied by the directors of the company and by the promoters of the company. Advertisement. Now, normally, the prospectus has an area wherein the Memorandum of Association, we have seen, is a very important document which has certain important clauses, namely the object clause, the capital clause, the liability clause, and the subscription and association clause. So here in this association and subscription clause, who are the various signatories to the MOA, the Memorandum of Association, is required to be mentioned. Why? Because these are required to be my first directors of the company. So therefore, an advertisement is normally included in the prospectus. The registration of the prospectus incorporated outside India. So supposing I have companies outside India which are registered, a copy of the same shall be filed with the registrar of companies in India, so that the registrar is required to have a thorough scrutiny as regards details which are incorporated before it is formally issued to the public at large. Now, abridged prospectus. A concise form of a prospectus is called abridged. That is, a small version containing all the particulars that we have just mentioned earlier is called an abridged prospectus, wherein, along with your application form, abridged prospectus is normally given to every subscriber. Shelf prospectus. I have just mentioned that a shelf prospectus is required to be issued by a financial institution. Now, why is this required? This is required because once I issue a shelf prospectus, in every subsequent issue, I don't have to issue any prospectus, so that once a time that it is issued, it is deemed to be a prospectus for all further issues. And that is the advantage of having a shelf prospectus. This is also filed along with an information memorandum, so that whatever are the financial changes that take place from time to time, once the prospectus is issued to the public, these changes are sought to be reported and verified in the prospectus. And finally, we have the red herring prospectus, where the quantum and price of the securities are not clearly mentioned. Every listed company gives a prospectus which is called red herring prospectus, and at least 3 days prior to the issue, a copy is required to be filed with the registrar. Now, at the time of the closing of the list, the prospectus has to be mentioning what is the change in the RHP and what is the change in the prospectus, so that in case the investor has got any ambiguities, the same is sought to be clarified under the prospectus. We now go to a very important area, which is misstatement and untrue statement in the prospectus. I would like to mention here that way back, Lord Justice Kinsley, in a very famous case called Canara Railway Company versus Muggeridge, had very clearly mentioned, directors, you need to be extremely careful when issuing prospectus to the public. Because if there is any false statement, any untrue statement, or any concealment of material facts which are required to be revealed and you have not revealed, there is a civil liability as well as a criminal liability. A criminal liability means you are imprisoned with a fine. A civil liability is a liability for damages, where compensation will be liable to be paid by the directors of the company to individual shareholders. Now, we shall look into the various areas on criminal liability. Every prospectus wherein it contains an untrue or a misleading statement, which is likely to mislead every person who authorizes the issue of such a prospectus, is liable for fraud under Section 447. For example, I just give you an illustration here. The company secretary has issued a prospectus stating the company is going to have a new project which is financially very sound at a remote place near Kerala. The prospectus states that the project is extremely good, the financial prospects are extremely encouraging, and on the basis of which the subscriber has purchased shares. Now the question is, after the statement has been issued, can the prospective investor rescind the contract or cancel the contract for shares? Yes, the liability is on the director, whereby under Section 447, there are two fundamental rights available to every shareholder. One is called as a right of rescission. We have seen this under Contract Act, my dear friends. A rescission means a termination of a contract. So therefore, when there is any untrue statement or a false statement in the prospectus, whereby the investor has believed on the statement, you have only stated what is the asset position, the liabilities are not stated. You have included any false statement and you know it is false. We have seen this in Contract Act, where a person makes a false statement and it is done intentionally, it is fraudulent. So therefore, damages can be claimed. So these are the two fundamental rights which are available to every shareholder, wherein he has a right of rescission and a right to claim damages. Now, coming down to the civil liability area. Punishment fraudulently inducing persons to invest money. Punishment for personating for acquisition, etc. of securities. Now, this is a new provision which has been added under Company Law 2013. This says, where every director or promoter in the prospectus encourages the investor to purchase, subscribe, or sell or dispose of any securities on the basis of this untrue statement, or on the basis of this untrue statement, an investor is entering into any contract with a third party stating that he will have a speculation on the prices and make money out of the speculative transaction. Or he tries to obtain a loan from a public financial institution on the basis of this prospectus is deemed to be fraudulent in nature. Now, personating. Now, what is the meaning of personating? A person having an application in a fictitious name. Supposing Mr. X is the subscriber. You are making 10 applications in various Benami names. It is called as personation. So therefore, where a share application has multiple applications in fictitious names, wherein they are not genuine investors, but they are investors who have Benami transactions in different names, such applications are regarded as fictitious and the company is liable to have any kind of liability imposed on such kinds of investors, where they too are liable under Section 447 of the Companies Act. So therefore, any kind of impersonation on the part of an applicant or any kind of an act whereby they try to induce the company, they try to encourage the company to have any kind of registration or transfer of shares, is required to be taken immediate action, whereby there is a penalty both on the company as well as the prospective investor. Well, we'll now go on to a very small area called private placement. Well, friends, let me have you informed that private limited companies normally do not have a prospectus. Why? Because it is only public companies wherein we have already mentioned. A company which invites the public to subscribe to shares with a large public base is required to file a prospectus or a statement in lieu of prospectus. Now, private companies whereby the number doesn't exceed 50 are required to give an offer by way of an invitation, and this invitation is called as a private placement. Let us look into the intricacies of private placement. It's an offer for securities made to persons not exceeding 50 which is a fresh offer, and this offer wherein it is given to 50 people, it is done provided there is no earlier issue or the earlier issue has been abandoned. A private placement is normally done. The money is required to be given by check or by a DD, that is a demand draft, and not by cash. The money is paid by check or a demand draft wherein the company allots the securities within 60 days from the date of the receipt of the application. If the allotment is not done, money will be repaid within a period of 15 days from the date of the completion of 60 days. If the company fails to do, a simple interest at the rate of 12% per annum is charged on the company. A separate account shall be maintained whereby all the monies of the subscribers is sought to be put into the account. The names are recorded prior to the invitation to subscribe. And normally, in a private placement, unlike my prospectus, we have no marketing, we have no distribution, we have no kind of communication channels as far as private placement is concerned. So here, the registrar is required to have a portfolio which is called as return of allotment, wherein he gives a complete list of all the security holders, their names, their details, and the number of shares that they have subscribed to. We come to the last portion on private placement. Important provisions with respect to private placements read with Rule 3. A prior approval in a general meeting of shareholders is required before any private placement is made. The offer cannot be made to more than 200 persons. Well, friends, you will know where this 200 has come. This is because a private company has minimum 2 and maximum 200. Beyond 200, where there is no limit in the numbers, it becomes a public offer. So therefore, the upper limitation is 200. We exclude here qualified institutional persons whereby they may be bankers to the issue and employees who have taken securities or who have taken shares under the employee stock option purchase scheme, so will be excluded from the scheme. There will be an offer which cannot be made to more than 200 persons in the aggregate and which will not be applicable to National Bank Finance Corporation and housing finance companies where RBI regulation shall be followed and the allotment shall be made within 60 days of application. Now, what are some of the restrictions on private placement? The restrictions on private placement are, it shall be essentially approved by the shareholders with a special resolution. It shall be not made to more than 200 persons. There shall be regulations as far as SEBI which are required to be followed. And if the offer is made to more than 200, it is deemed to be a public offer for securities. So therefore, we need to know that a private placement has certain very important restrictions that Companies Act 2013 has laid down, which is required to be adhered by the company secretary and by the directors of the company. We'll just put an end to this area with a small illustration whereby I would just like to ask you a question. X, a prospective investor, has applied for shares. He doesn't apply for the same. After a period of 1 month after the entire allotment is over, he takes 200 shares from his friend Y. After a period of 2 months, he files a suit against the company stating that there is an untrue statement in the prospectus and therefore wants to file a suit for damages. Can this prospective investor succeed in his suit? No, my dear friends, because here is a person who is not an original allottee who has subscribed to shares on the basis of a prospectus. He has taken this from a friend, so whereby shares are transferred from the transferer unto the transferee. One cannot file a suit because if there is any untrue statement, it applies to only an original allottee. It will not be applicable to any kind of people who purchase shares in the open market. And therefore, this is an area wherein untrue statement is available only to the original shareholder, wherein the areas as regards any untrue statement wherein, as far as cancellation of the contract or damages are concerned, is available only to the original allottee. Now, what will the director do in such an eventuality? The following defenses are available to him. Now, who are the people who will be liable in the event of the prospectus? Every director of the company, every person who has authorized the issue, every person in the capacity of an expert, every person who has given his consent to the issue of the prospectus, and every promoter of the company is liable for this important document. Now, what are the defenses when an investor is filing a suit? What are the defenses available to the various people? The expert says, I withdrew my consent before the issue. Or after the issue was out to the public, I gave a public notice that my consent is now removed or revoked, and therefore I no longer stand liable to the company as far as any of these contents are concerned. So therefore, these are some of the defenses which are available to any of the promoters, the experts and the directors who are responsible to the issue of the prospectus. Well, thank you, my dear friends. We have had a very thorough insight into the areas of prospectus, the contents, the legal requirements, the areas as regards untrue statements, and finally, the areas on private placement. Thank you very much.